Hello and welcome to another episode, number 3, Untold Mysteries Out of Quarantine on bbsradio.com. And it's live. My name is John Kulis from the Netherlands. I also broadcast live in the Peltalk room called bbsradio.com Live Activating Multidimensionals. That is the room title, and that will be the topic of today. How can we become multidimensionals ourselves? And why is it that we don't activate it, and why is it that we don't use it? A lot of people feel themselves maybe that they are not able to have access to their full potential. And what is it that we are not having this this way to do this? There are many stories how to do it. For instance, people say you just have to meditate and you will have visions and access to that information that is necessary for your own spiritual path or spiritual evolution. I forgot to mention, my name is John Kulis, and I'm broadcasting from the Netherlands, from Europe, and I'm very thankful to Donald Newsom to allow me to do every Saturday a radio show called Untold Mysteries Out of Quarantine. And yes, it will be live, and it is live, so I'm not prepared for this story, but I think it's important. Let's start first. Why is it that I need to talk about this very topic? If we believe that you are just a number, you see your name and your what you do. Let's say you are working on a postal office, or you are a computer expert, or you are someone who is mechanical or whatever. Everybody identifies his own being with what you do on this planet. So you're. Your limited perception of yourself is that you, if someone asks you, who are you? Oh, I'm a plumber. Oh, I'm, I do this and I do that. So most of the time we see ourselves for what we do, and that is connected to our so-called identity. But what if our identity is much complexer and larger than we ever can imagine? But somehow we are not having access to that. Maybe we choose to have limited experience for a while, for good reason. And why is it that we don't want to have access to become multidimensional? Because it has huge consequences. There is a strange theory that I have, for consideration purpose only. You don't have to believe me, but let's say there are parallel universes and there are many yous existing at the same time. And all those yous, maybe millions of yous, having different experiences and different choices. And they all have a certain awareness or wisdom in their own choices they made. And there can be good choices, can be bad choices. Even if you don't make a choice, can create an understanding that you are in a stagnation and not able to move forward. Now let's imagine yourself that you can have access to all of them, all the wisdoms of you, but done in a parallel universe, having a different choice, made a different choice, and have this wisdom of living it, not only reading about it or talking about it, but actually you did it in another parallel universe. You made a different choice. You actually learned from that experience, and it fills you with awareness. Now, that awareness is much higher, I guess, or more intense, because you experienced it yourself. Therefore, it has more value for you, personally. But if you just hear about it, someone else experiencing it, then you would say, oh yeah, okay, I can understand, there's some logic into that, there's some wisdom into that, but it's still second-hand wisdoms. So the true wisdoms would be, if you experience it yourself, of course, then it takes more, have more an impact on your soul and on who you are. Now, imagine again that there are multiverses, parallel universes, that you made different decisions and different choices, and you had a complete different path, and that you are broadcasting as a multidimensional being, what we are, but we don't access it, that we can actually receive that awareness. Now, that sounds far-fetched, maybe, but I have to stretch your imagination and kind of interesting if you say imagination, means I, magician of nations, or of a nation. So you're actually a magician of a nation. That is imagination. And of course, it's not for me, this concept. I heard this from Bashar. He's also a multidimensional person who is, you know, having this freedom of philosophy from who are we, where we come from, what is our origins, and what the hell are we doing here? Now, let's say that you have access to this multiverses of you. What would you do with it? Maybe if you are very honest to yourself, you already have access to it, but you ignore it for many different reasons. Let's say there is a so-called inner voice, or inner wisdom, or inner knowledge, and that energy that has the highest awareness of who you are and what best is most harmonious for you is pouring this wisdom inside of you somehow, and you have access to it. But you ignore it. Now, what is the reason that we ignore sometimes inner wisdoms or inner awareness? The reason could be that you are afraid of confrontation, that you don't like conflicts, that you want to postpone conflicts, that you don't want to put it to use because of the consequences for losing, maybe losing a job, or maybe losing friends. There are many different reasons that people choose not to use their inner wisdoms or inner knowledge. And think about yourself. How many times that you made mistakes or have heavy experiences that you would say, this is too much, it's so disharmonious for myself, it will not actually uplift me, it will not empower me, I will become more slave, and I don't know why I did it. And if you're truly honest to yourself, you already had the signals not to do it, and you do it anyway. Or you conform, or you want to fit in, and deep inside you feel that's wrong. Something is heavy wrong here. And still you want to blend in, and still you want to, because of fear, you don't want to be an outsider. So there are many, many reasons that people actually know and feel the answer inside, but ignores it. Now, could that inner so-called higher self, what you are, an accumulation of all yous and all multidimensional worlds, multi-universes, that is shouting for a different choice? Now, what will happen if you're going to listen more to your inner voice? Now, when people talk about higher self, inner voice, a lot of people have maybe never considered what I'm just talking about, that we're living in a multiverse and that we have a parallel universes and that there are many different views, and that you can actually create an alternative timeline right now. So if that is correct, that you can actually create and become a creator, a co-creator of an alternative timeline, is there a way to do some experiments on this concept? I think there is an experiment what we can do. Now, what I'm going to do or tell you right now, I saw this in a vision that people can actually test themselves. Now, let's say that we create a time loop in the future. Now, that sounds far-fetched, a time loop, what do you mean? Now, let's say that you are transmitting back in time to now. So, in the future, you make an appointment with yourself and send awareness or wisdom or knowledge from the future, that is you, sending backwards in time. Now, how can we do this? And going backwards in time is to the now. So you make an appointment with the future that you are the one who's broadcasting back in time. Now, you can do this with a group. Let's say you have a certain date, certain time. You use certain music. You use certain smells. You can actually trigger your senses to tune in this frequency of recognition, like a pattern. It's like that your brain has a focus of a awareness. Now, when you have an atmosphere of a location where you're not being disturbed and you are with a group of people, let's say seven people or six, it doesn't matter. If you're in a circle with people and you are filming yourself, so someone is filming the circle of people, and they all are in kind of meditation and receiving awareness or messages from you, from yourself, doing it in the future, back in time to now. I don't hope that I'm going to make you crazy, but it is possible. Because if you do you have an appointment with someone in the future that is transmitting back in time? No, you don't. Then make one. Create one. You are the one that can decide. I'm going to, let's say, 1 year from now, I'm going to transmit in the future back to now. Now, if you make that decision to yourself, you make an appointment with oneself, you can also do it with a group, let's say, with 7 or 6 people in a circle, filming yourself and then watching that same footage, and 1 year later, at the same spot, same time, you know, and having the same, you know, if you think about the zodiac and astrology, it may be important that you have the same time, same date, exactly 1 year later. And then you look at that video, and then you are transmitting back in time. Now, then you would say, well, you know, what is the fun of sending back in time if the message has already been received? So what is the point? Now, the point is that when you receive awareness or messages from the future, you have to put it on a paper and keep it for yourself, sealed the envelope, put it, you know, this letter in an envelope, seal it, and don't share with nobody. So you could receive energy or information from the future in this envelope and then only open at the day that you're going to transmit. But the transmission that you do can be not only necessarily for you, it can also be for your neighbor or your other fellow man that you are, or woman that you are in the circle with. So you can receive information from the future and later check it if it's working. And then when you open the envelope after you're transmitting back in time, you're going to look if it's working. If you can create a time loop. Now, this sounds very complicated, but it isn't. It is not that far-fetched. If you know that we are multidimensional beings, and there are many ways to activate our multidimensional, that we are becoming multidimensionals. So, yeah, again, what can I say? This is one of many ways to stretch your awareness and using more of your potential instead of being one linear thinking. Let's say in 2012, you experienced something very important. It's extremely emotional and extremely powerful, what you experienced in 2012. At that very moment, your energy is radiating also backwards in time. Because you are, if you have an intense emotion or intense happening, it can actually go multidimensional, go multidirectional. So therefore, if there is something happening in 2012, we already can receive it now. You know, I just explained, we are multidimensional beings, and maybe we are shouting something, oh my God, if I only knew, I would change my fate. Or I would change my attitude, or I make different choices. Now, if you really want to receive awareness from that point of time, 2012 or 2011, you know, it can also be important year, and you think, hey, it would be interesting to receive awareness from it, how can we be sure that it is a benevolent or malevolent, you know, that you think, is it the right way? Is it correct? Is it based on fear? Is it based on empower oneself? Is it based upon to be in harmony with yourself, to have a better spiritual evolution, whatever, what you want to call it? What kind of information do you want to receive? Now, how can you verify something that it is correct? Now, that's the reason that I just described something important. It is that how to exercise yourself to receive information from yourself, instead of relying on alien beings or whatever. We are the multidimensionals, so why should we held by the hand, you know, like a child, and the parent is telling to the child, follow me. Maybe we don't need to be a child anymore. Maybe we don't need to be all the time be guided by superior beings. Now, that's important. How can we trigger, how can we activate becoming multidimensionals? It's only if you want to explore your multidimensional self of yourself. And if you don't wish to examine it, if you don't want to explore it, then you want to have only one linear thinking, that is a choice, you know, that's your free will. You can choose having one linear thinking, you go from A to B and that's it, that's a choice. You can also say, no, I'm interested to wanting to know more about how to become a multidimensional, and we can actually activate it, that potential that we have. And that goes through music, that goes through art. You know, I don't know if people wonder, when you are talking to someone on the phone and you make some scribbles, you make some drawings on paper, or you write something down and you don't take notice of it, sometimes it can be interesting that we are kind of a light trance and we are making symbols or drawings that can be maybe important. Now, symbols has meaning. Everybody knows that, but symbol has meaning. Let's say that that you're going to die, but let's say you die and your soul goes to another planet and incarnate and having a different body. And on that different planet, you take all the symbols with you that you have learned on this planet, planet Earth. So you take the symbol of Jesus, the cross of Jesus, then you have the symbol, the David Star, and then you have, of course, all the symbolism that you're aware of, the swastika, you name it. If you take all the symbols with you and you show it to another planet, it could be very well that the majority of those aliens watching those symbols saying, I don't know what they mean. But one of those so-called aliens, they look at some symbols longer than normal. They say, wait a minute, I recognize those symbols, but I don't know why. The reason that alien that is watching longer at those symbols is because maybe on a soul level he already experienced to be a human, being on this planet, and has the recognition of that symbol. So therefore, a symbol can be powerful. It can actually go beyond the brain. It is more than only a meaning. It is a whole story. It's in a whole. So again, a symbol, if you just look at abstract and you see just certain lines, it has, of course, not big of an impact. But the moment that you know the whole story behind it and the emotions and the pain and the suffering that is connected to that symbol, it has more meaning. Now, maybe it's the same with us. When I was very young at age, I saw a huge symbol on a door in a vision, and the same symbol I saw 12 years later in a documentary called The Truth About UFOs and ETs. And that symbol triggered me. So there is something that activated my multidimensional self, and everybody has it, but it is, you can easily overlook it. You can easily, not being aware that can be very powerful in certain symbols. So when you have, I was 12 years old, having a vision of the future, working in the underwater city, in a dome-like city, and I see this danger coming towards us, and we had to evacuate. I had a responsibility over a team of people who were scuba diving very deep, working at the edge of the underwater city, this dome-like city. And then I went in this tunnel, and I saw this huge door with this strange symbol that I never saw before. And I had this device in my hand, and I think, hey, what are weird symbols? But one of those weird symbols is the same as what I saw on that door. So I pushed the button, the door went open, and there was total harmony, and I could rescue the people and evacuate them. Now, that very moment when I was in that building, strange things happened to me. For instance, I saw a device where you can put your hand inside of it, and it will scan your DNA, and so kind of a hologram will appear to you, and you can ask anything about your heritage, the history of this planet. It reads your DNA, and it will actually have access to this 97% of your DNA. And you can actually talk to it and ask anything you like, what you wish to learn about Atlantis, about Lemuria, about Mu, about the different alien interventions, whatever you want to ask, it will answer it, because it has access to your undecoded, unactivated part of your DNA. Now, that vision, I was 12 years old, and I'm now 40 years old, and I'm born in 66. So in 1978, I had this vision of activating my own part of my hidden DNA activation. Now, that story, when I heard it for the first time, that there was a hidden treasure inside of you, and that is the true history of the planet being kept away from us somehow. For the first time that concept came to me was in 1990, when I read about Barbara Maciniak from Bringers of the Dawn. Now, Bringers of the Dawn is a channel transmedium book from Barbara Maciniak, and Bringers of the Dawn, they talked about living libraries that we have inside. Well, I talked about that concept long before other people came with it. So, again, I was 12 years old in 1978, and I saw this strange symbol. Now, when I was 24 years old in 1990, I had a UFO encounter. I had also a missing time, by the way, from 2 hours. But I also saw this huge, strange symbol in a documentary on a UFO coming out of the sea. Now, calculate the odds that you put a strange symbol on paper when you were 12 years old, and later, 12 years later, when you was 24 years old, I had a UFO encounter. Somebody gave me this tape from Brad Steiger documentary, and I see the same symbol seen by the Navy personnel, and they are describing and making a picture or drawing of this UFO coming out of the sea with the same symbol that I saw when I was 12 years old. This documentary was made long after that I had my vision. So there you go. This symbol was very powerful for me, and I decided to take some notice of my strange symbols that I put down on paper. And in the early stage, I had the feeling it was so important. I only felt, okay, it's beautiful, it's nice, it's crazy, people will laugh at me. But now, because of this documentary, I knew I had to do something more with it. So what I decided to... wanting to do more with it, with all those strange symbols, and it has to do with activating us becoming multidimensional. Again, a symbol is more than only lines and angles and lines on the paper. It has a huge impact on meaning if you recognize it for what it is. Now, when I decided to do something with it, I made the most important symbols, I made them bigger, enlarged them, gave it a number, and show it to people in a workshop in 1998 in the Netherlands, in a place called Vierhouten, that is near a beautiful forest, where you have a lot of beautiful sight. You know, that you have a beautiful surroundings. There were a lot of teepees and tents and people doing workshops. You can do yoga, you can do Tai Chi, you can choose to do Reiki or whatever. It's like you have to pay for one entrance, and then you can choose out of 100 different workshops, New Age-like workshops. It's a beautiful place to experience. It's called in Dutch Eigentijds Festival. Now, Eigentijds Festival, I have to translate that. It means like it's a festival of being different than the average person. Now, that in itself is kind of strange to say, but you just allow yourself to be crazy or something like that. Eigentijds, I don't know how to translate it into English. Maybe someone in the chat room can help me out. How can I translate Eigentijds? I don't know. It's kind of allowing yourself to be strange. Maybe that's the best word. Being just yourself. Yes, allowing yourself to be yourself. Now, that there were about 2,000 people there, and I had my own tent, and I also decided to give a workshop. And the title of that workshop is called Finding Your Missing Link. Look, using Atlantean and ET symbols to test people, to connect people. So again, you can choose out of 100 different workshops, and you can sign in. It's you have to be fast, because if it's full, it's full. And I did this workshop 3 times. It will take 2 hours, but of course a break in between. And so 3 times 2 hours, people could sign in. So every tent has this table, and a table you see a piece of paper, and then you can sign in and leave your name behind that you're going to certain times that you want to experience this workshop that I give. You know, finding your missing link and activating or triggering using Atlantean and UFO symbols or alien symbols, ET symbols, and to test people and to unite people somehow in a workshop. Now, when I when the tents were open to that people could sign in, it was in an instant. A lot of people want to sign up, and it was full within 50 minutes. And so I was so amazed that so many people signed up, and I had to tell a lot of people to go away, because, sorry, I'm full. There's no place to do the workshop. You have to do Reiki or do yoga or do Tai Chi. And, you know, most people say, yeah, but I know that. But what you are doing is something new. Because most of it, they are, people want to experience something new. Now, when I was in that tent, where about 30 people can come in, 35 people maximum, I had on the walls of that tent, I used some tape, of course, and that I stick up the walls all those A4s, papers with the symbols, with numbers. Now, imagine yourself, you're coming in that, and then you see all those people in a circle listening to my story about the symbols, why it's important, why I think we can use this. I explained the story about me having a vision of the future and having confirmation in a documentary, and I think I need to do something with my strange symbols, because I made much more than one. Actually, I made over 1,000. It will be on the DVD that is soon to be released if my computer is fixed. But at that moment, when I did this, I asked them, if you watch those strange symbols, please do not think. Please do not say, hey, this is beautiful. It looks like hieroglyphics, or it looks like Chinese, or whatever, or the Mayans. When you talk like that, you actually are not feeling, you're just thinking. And what I want to know is, if you feel something and you cannot explain it, and you feel kind of recognition of the symbol, then you put it on paper. You say, let's say number 6 or number 8 or number 22 out of the 60 symbols, you can actually choose your own top 7 and later to change it into top 3 that you have a strong feeling with it, and you cannot explain it. You don't know how, but you recognize that symbol. You say, whoa, I have a strong feeling with that symbol. Symbol, yeah. Now, imagine yourself that 30 people or 35 people are watching all those symbols, and they have to look at those symbols only maximum of 2 or 3 seconds. And if you don't feel anything, go to the next. Don't take long, because if you want to, if you doubt, then you're thinking, and that's not the point. The point is that you recognize it, you feel it, or you don't feel it. At the end of this, I also say, to the people, if you don't feel anything there's no feeling whatsoever with all those 60 symbols that you can see, then there's no problem. There's the door. You know, you can leave. No problem. So, and some did. You know, 2 people left out of the 95 people that were attending this workshop. Some people didn't show up, so they signed up, but they didn't show up. And that's a pity, because there were so many people wanting to show up. But the majority came, so about 95, 96 people have done the experiment, this workshop. Now, the moment that you have your own top 3 and put it on paper, those numbers. Everybody get a pencil, everybody get a paper, and you have to put your own symbols, your numbers, and keep it for yourself. Do not tell anyone. Now, then everybody has to sit down in a circle, and then I'm going to ask people who have chosen this symbol on their top number one on the list. Then two hands are raised. You know, imagine yourself, you see 32 people, and then only two people have raised their hand with a certain symbol. Then I tell to those two people, tell them, okay, you two are now connected. You're going to do a ritual. You're going to do a special ritual. So join, go sit next to each other, and you are now connected to each other. And then I ask for the next symbol. Who has chosen this one as number one? Now, sometimes there was a person that is alone. Let's say that you are the only one that chose this number one on your list. There's no problem, because that person can wait if someone else chosen that same symbol as number two on the list. You see, then you still can be connected. That's the reason I choose to have, everybody has to have a top three of symbols. Now, and what is so weird and so beautiful, that everything fits. So all the 96 people that have chosen symbols from the heart for the feeling with that, attached to that symbol, they were connected with a soul twin flame or soulmate or whatever you want to call it. That's what I call it. And they will meet each other through the recognition of a feeling of a symbol. And they are connected. And it worked perfect in harmony. It was like, how is that possible? You can imagine that if five people choose the same symbol as number one, then there will be chaos. Then we have a problem. But I didn't have that problem. So everything was harmonious. I could actually have all those couples created of a feeling of a symbol, and then they have to do the ritual. Now, that was something magical. Now, when they were sitting next to each other, they were asked by me to sit on a chair and knee to knee, about 30 centimeters, your knees are not touching each other, but you are watching each other straight into your eyes. And at that moment, when you are sitting on a chair, and the other one also, you are asked not to look in the eyes, but between the eyes. Now, when you're looking at your third eye, a little bit higher, I asked the people, if you watch at that face, please do not try to think about what you see. Try to be completely open. So if you see someone with a big ears or with a strange nose or strange mouth, please let go of that. Don't judge whatsoever and just observe and look what happens. Now, of course, everybody knows that if you're watching and stare at something, it can be morphing. It's going to change a bit. If you stare too long at one point, you can have this effect as if there's something changing. And I explain to the group that it's normal. If you feel unhappy, if you feel you are afraid of it, if you feel that it's too much for me, you can always quit and have a time off. So I always kept people aware that you can always say, oh, time out, it's too much for me. But that was not necessary, because the majority, only one person had difficulty and the majority not. At that moment, when you are sitting, watching each other between the eyes, you're actually radiating infrared from your eyes towards the third eye, and you're activating that person without that person knowing it, and vice versa, that another person is activating your third eye as well. So there's a connection, and there's something going to happen with each other. Now, when you see that change, that changing face, you see the face going to change, it's normal. I will tell to the public or to the people in the workshop, don't be afraid if you see something changing. It's completely normal. It's just an illusion, what you see when you stare at something. But what I didn't tell is that that face can be extremely sharp and very vivid for a split second. And then you have to tell each other what you saw. Maybe there was more than only seeing a face, another face in a face. And when you are seeing something in each other, don't tell each other what you see. You know, keep it for yourself at that moment, because otherwise you disturb the other person watching you. So be quiet. Just let it happen. Of course, I did some more than this. I asked people to relax and to breathe in and breathe out and do some yoga and do some meditation. So I tried to summarize, make it short what I did with this workshop. But the moment when you are contact each other through this, only through connecting through the symbol that you have, that is feeling with a symbol, is a way to connect people and activate each other's third eye and becoming multidimensional. And then when you're finished, you're going to describe each other what you saw. And then it can be possible that you saw a different face and maybe with some information attached to it and shared with your partner that you are keeping for yourself and confidential and private. You don't have to share this with the group. Only if you are get permission to do so. So I was very careful with this, because this can be very emotional and very powerful. What I also did is, when you were watching each other, let's say for 5 minutes, and after 5 minutes I asked everybody to raise their hands and slowly go with your hands forward and not touching each other, just about 1 inch of the hands, open hand, you know, and going slowly, and then go with your hands in a circle, making circles, left or right, you know, clockwise, anti-clockwise, it doesn't matter. What you feel that is good, you do it. And the moment that you both have your hands raised, and you are slowly going towards each other, not touching each other, and then making circles with your hands, you still are watching each other's third eye. That will take about 1 minute when you do that. And then you can do something, and you're not obligated to do so. You're not forced to say it or not forced to do it. But you can, if you want, say this message. It sounds very heavy what I'm going to say, but you don't have to do it. Now, when you have one hand of on your heart, that would be your left hand, you put it on your heart, and your other hand to make contact with that person. That would be your right hand. Your right hand touches the other right hand of your partner. And you're still watching in each other's eyes, between the eyes. And you can say this: your pain is my pain. We are as one. Now, that sounds powerful. Your pain is my pain, and we are as one. You're not alone in this. Because everybody has his own hidden pains, and you don't have to discuss it, you don't have to talk about it, but it is extremely powerful if you meet someone on your level, on your spiritual level, or spiritual soul mate, or whatever you want to call it, and you don't have to have a relationship with it, you just resonate with someone very powerful. Now, when this happens, again, you don't have to do it, but you can say it, one hand on your heart, and the other hand touches the other hand, and you look between the eyes and say, your pain is my pain, we are as one. Now, that is being told by both persons, and the majority did, and they did say this, we are as one. Now, when this happened, this is all extremely powerful in symbolism, because when you go to home and you're going to sleep, it's still resonating. It's still activating a multidimensional you, a part of you that is multidimensional, that will be resonating in your dreams. And you're having strong visions or vivid dreams. So what I told everybody is, please take notice of your dreams tonight or tomorrow. Write it down. You know, you're actually connected with a person that you never saw before. Normally, when you want to join or want to have a conversation with a stranger, most of the time it has to do with that the person has a certain looks, maybe the person has a certain interest or whatever. And there are many different reasons. Some people see, hey, that guy is has much money. So whatever the reason that people choose to contact someone, this what I just described is completely different. It's a completely different way to connect with someone. Now what happened, I could give you a beautiful example. There was a young boy of 18 years old who told me that his mother described a guide, a spiritual guide, it's like a ghost, that is assisting him, and it's like a guardian angel. And that the mother is a psychic woman describing that guardian angel that is protecting him or helping him or assisting him. And he never saw it. He said, I never saw it. I never saw it in dreams. I never saw it in physical. I never saw anything like it. But this stranger, you know, that was in that workshop, was describing in his face exactly the same face, or they're describing the person that is exactly the description of that guardian angel or a spirit guide or whatever you want to call it. And he was in tears, because he never had confirmation about his so-called protector or so-called guardian angel or whatever you want to call it. So how can a stranger know what to describe in your face? So this is beautiful. Now, many other things happened on that day in 1998. And I learned from it, because I don't know what to do with the symbols. I think the majority of those strange symbols, I had no way of understanding what is the meaning of it and what should I do with it. And then I decided to do this, you know, to activate something through some kind of a ritual, and people having access to their multidimensional self. So again, this what I just described is actually experience things instead of talking about it or reading about it. You actually meet a person, a stranger, that has the same resonance or feeling with a symbol that you choose. You see, this is a way of how you perceive things. And maybe it is an alien, or maybe it is a Atlantean symbol that is actually connected with your soul that had lived before in that time. And therefore, you can actually connect with other souls having the same awareness or attachment or whatever you want to call it, identity with that experience in past lives. So, again, there are many ways of activating your multidimensional self. Maybe I can give more examples of how to trigger and activating your multidimensional self. Before I'm going to do that, I'm going to say a phone number. If people want to respond to this, you can call toll-free 877-876 and then 5227. Toll-free. So the number in the United States is 877-876-5227. Now, when you call, that will be toll-free in the United States. Are you living in Canada? Then you can call this number, 888-810-8322. Repeat, if you're living in Canada, you can call this number, 888-810-8322. 888-810-8322. That's Canada. And if you want to have a direct phone-in line with no toll-free, then it's 530-876-322. Repeat, if you want to have direct line, direct access, it's 530-876-322. So that's the way to connect to this program. And if people in Palto can respond, you can raise your hand and I can relay if you want to respond to what you heard today. I'm going to talk about more ways to activate your multidimensional self, because I think it's important that we are all co-creator of creating alternative timelines. And again, maybe you are already living in it. Have you ever imagined that you're already living in an alternative timeline? That you maybe did something in the past and make different decisions? Because you allow yourself to absorb awareness or wisdom that is from yourself, not, you know, what I just explained, and that you already created an alternative timeline because of this awareness. Now, how many people have heard about inner wisdom, inner voice, inner knowledge? And most people find it the kind of, oh, that must be the voice of God, or that must be something like an angel, or that not necessarily so. It can be actually a kind of awareness of what the end result is of certain decision-making process or choices you made in your life and what impact it has. Do you wish to talk with that person or not? Do you want to listen to John Keelis or not? Do you want to exercise your full potential or not? Do you want to be a slave to the New World Order or not? I'm a little bit making fun out of this New World Order agenda. But again, we can make every day, we can create a total new alternative timeline to make a different choice. And if we think that we are trapped, if we think that there is no way of escaping it, then you will experience that because it will be of service to you to experience being trapped, to experience to be limited. Why? Because they will give it to you until you say to yourself, I'm fed up with that. I'm fed up being trapped in my own convictions. I'm fed up being trapped in my own thought cage, my own created thought cage, and I allow myself to surprise myself. Now, when you make that decision, then the cosmos, or whatever you want to call it, will help you, will assist you. You will always be mirrored back. Whatever you choose, you will be mirrored back. If you choose fear, you think it will serve you, it will help you. It will. They will help you to experience fear-based thinking. And as you wish, no problem, they arrange it for you until you get you're fed up with yourself and say, wait a minute, we are far more, there is a bigger picture here. We are trapped in a time loop. We get so many chances over and over again until we say, now I got it. It's all about escaping the mind prison called fear-based thinking. We have to escape that mind prison. If we don't, we are running in circles. And that's the reason I think 2012 is very important, because that's this D-Day, decision day. Do you want to be a slave to the system, or do you really want to escape this madness? Now, that can only be escaped if you allow yourself to go beyond dualistic thinking. Now, that is a heavy word. How can you allow yourself to go beyond dualistic thinking? It's becoming multidimensional. So that is the answer. How can you escape dualistic thinking? It's becoming multidimensional. And understand that there are many yous having wonderful experiences and also bad experiences and gained wisdom from it and gained awareness from it. It's up to you if you're fed up with that. There is a point that you say, enough of this charade. I'm totally fed up with this. I'm not going to take it anymore. And I'm going to make a different alternative timeline. I'm going to use my inner awareness now. I put it to use. I put it to practice. I'm going to not be a slave anymore to whatever expectations people have of you. And becoming a co-creator of a complete different reality. Because you trigger other people too. Just because you have that awareness, and by being, you actually trigger other people to do the same. And you know what the beauty thing is? You don't have to explain it. You just do what you do, and people take notice. They say, wow, now that guy is centered. That guy is in his awareness. I want to know more about that guy. You see, but... Okay, I see someone... Hello, someone is calling? Hello, welcome. And you are live in the air now. You listening now? Jujunculus, and you're now live on the phone.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, can you please state your name and what your location is?
Yes, my name is Kathy, and I'm in New Jersey.
Kathy from New Jersey. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Do you have a question?
I'm having a hard time hearing you. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Kathy, do you have a question? Kathy, can you hear me? I hear an echo of myself. I guess Donald Newsom has to fix this. Okay. Kathy, can you hear me? Catherine?
Yeah, she. I think she might have had a bad connection. I was trying to bring it in.
Okay.
But was having a little difficulty with it. I apologize. If she'll call back, we might be able to...
Yes.
Yeah, but the line seemed, it was a little weird there, and I was trying to get it on, and we just couldn't manage it.
Okay, we have some line phone problems, but we can fix it later, so if people can...
There's no phone problems. There's no phone problems.
Yes.
It's all working.
It's all working, but we have an echo.
That could be the digital line, and it could be because I'm on here right now.
Okay. We learn every day, so it's an experiment. I saw that there was a hand raised in Paltalk, Steve, from England. Can you please raise your hand again if you want to ask questions or respond, and I can actually broadcast it over the radio show. I have a speaker here. Stand by. Steve, you want to respond? I give you the mic, if it's okay. Okay, here, I release the mic on Paltalk to Steve from Britain. Okay. Now I'm waiting for Steve to respond.
Thanks for using the mic. You said before, it wasn't about what you said recently, but you said about you had a vision about a dome under the sea. Well, I had a dream three times in vivid, a vivid dream, basically, about a dome under the sea and a nuclear holocaust. And when you said that, I thought, God, that sounds exactly like what I had. What did you say?
Just a moment, I need to... Okay, thank you for responding, Steve. Yes, more people have visions of doomsday scenarios connected to underwater bases, and somehow... that visions are connected, that people being saved somehow through underwater bases or underwater cities, that all those motherships or huge UFOs that people see not necessarily are aliens. They could be very well from the ancient beings, ancient ones, living in the oceans longer than the humans. And when they appear, some of them will recognize them, because maybe we as a soul, we infiltrated the humans to serve, to be of service. Let's consider that there is something going to happen in 2012 that would, enormous catalyst of a problem of that two-thirds of the Earth will be wiped out. And before that, a part of the humans is going to make a time jump, going forward in time. Another part of the humans will be going to underwater bases, and another part of the humans will be going to extraterrestrials and connect with them. So you have many different scenarios. If there is a catalyst or whatever one they want to call it, if something heavy is going to happen in 2012, it could be very well that not everything what you see has to be alien or has to be something that is going to rescue us. Maybe it is us ourselves on a soul level that decided to infiltrate, by reincarnation, to be temporarily, having temporarily amnesia about our origins, and that part of the humans are actually on the soul level ancient beings, you know, earth beings from the earth, not necessarily alien, and are extremely old. Now, when you have visions of underwater cities and underwater bases, part of them can, of course, be alien too, or extraterrestrial too. There are many UFOs reported worldwide coming out of the sea. There's an excellent documentary called Deep Sea UFOs on the History Channel, and they talk about the Dragon's Triangle. And they say that the Bermuda Triangle is peanuts in comparison with the Dragon's Triangle that is near Japan, and that there are many navies reporting UFOs coming out of the sea. It's been reported almost in every navy of every nation. So any nation on this planet who has a navy knows about UFOs coming out of the sea. It's not only the Americans reporting UFOs coming out of the sea. I think every nation knows about it. The problem is why is it that they keep that secret from us? So if there is a massive catalyst going on in 2012, again, there are many scenarios what can happen. A part of humanity can make a time jump into the future. Part of the humanity will go to maybe another dimension. Another part goes to extraterrestrial bases, will be saved temporarily to extraterrestrial places. Then you have, of course, the ancient cities, or the cities that coexist with us. But they don't bother to explain it to us because we are not up to it now. And what is the best way to assist humanity? What's the best way? Is it by force? I don't think so. Is it by allowing yourself to be temporarily limited and having certain insights and wisdoms and then slowly inject this wisdom into the open through books, through radio shows, TV shows, television shows, movies like The Abyss. So slowly the awareness is rising and some people recognize it, like, wow, I recognize this, I don't know why. So we are maybe being activated, triggered to become multidimensional again. So maybe there is a connection, us to become multidimensional again and be of service in this transition in 2012. Now, it's almost time for me to stop with the radio show. The last time it went wrong. I see that Steve has raised his hand in Pal Talk room, and then it will be the last time because then we have to round it up because the time is almost finished. Steve, I will give you the mic again and put you on the radio just a moment.